Roland
Martin. You probably say, come on, give me a break. Move on, guys.
Friday morning, Roland Martin from our Washington, D.C. studios. Good morning, Roland.
What up, Ro-Ro?
Good morning, folks. Hope everything is great. Getting ready for, of course, another edition of Washington Watch this Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern. So looking forward to it. Tom, we always talk about education. And typically, when you see these report cards come out, it's always dealing with test scores and stuff like that. But what about a state policy that is specifically about the students? Well, the education group Student First put together the State of Education Policy Report Card. And we're joined by the founder of the group, Michelle Reeve, former chancellor of the D.C. Public Schools, and the author of a new book called Radical, Fighting to Put Students First. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to be here. Also, for transparency, I also sit on the board of directors of Student First, so just want to let folks know that. Now, Michelle, in this report card, it's interesting. The national average is a D. And yeah. We sit here and states say, oh, we're doing great, like Massachusetts, but something like 50% of the kids are essentially failing, but people say they're doing great. So break down this report card. How did you break it down to determine who's really doing well when it comes to education?
Well, right. Like you said, this report card does not take student achievement into account. I mean, we already know how each state is doing. A lot of our states are not doing particularly well, but across the country, in terms of student achievement, you do have states like Massachusetts who people for the large part think is the best state across the country, yet 50% of the kids are not at grade level proficiency. What our report card looks at specifically is the policy environment in which schools are operating. And what we look at are there laws and policies in place that are geared towards ensuring that kids have the best environment possible? And by the D average, you can tell that our country still has a very long way to go.
It stuns me when people always talk about education is so important. Sybil, we hear that all the time. But when it comes to priorities, it's oftentimes at the bottom of the list.
That's right. I mean, it was surprising even in the last presidential election to watch the candidates go back and forth, and yet education didn't really come up as a top priority. And at Students First, what we believe is that, you know, you can talk about the economy and jobs all you want, but in the long term, if we really want to fix our nation's economy, we have to fix our public education system, because at the end of the day, right now, we are not preparing kids to be successful in a global economy, to compete with kids internationally, the kids in China and Singapore, because our kids just don't have the skills that they do.
Well, where do you start? I mean, I know we've had this discussion over and over and over again, but I think it bears repeating. Where do you start? I know, do you start in the home and that sort of thing, or your suggestions?
Well, you know, what we advocate for at Students First and then the policy report card is for states and school districts to take a very common sense approach to the policies. So the policies that we have in the report card are things like, you know, what are the laws in place in a particular state to lay off teachers? A lot of states say you must lay teachers off by seniority alone, and that you can't take quality into account at all or how effective the teacher is. You know, that doesn't make sense to most people. It's most people you say, no, you should take into account how good a teacher is in the classroom. But lots of states have laws in place that say that the only way that you can pay teachers is based on how long they've been there and what degrees they have, again, as opposed to how effective they are. That doesn't make sense. You want to ensure that you're paying your most highly effective teachers more money so they'll stay in the classroom. So these policies are very common sense policies, and they're things that most parents would say, of course, that's how we should run the school system.
Is the biggest obstacle really people who are afraid of change? I don't mean this whole notion of teachers' unions, but I'm talking about even politicians, even school boards, frankly, even parents, when you begin to say how we must radically change what's happening with education in America.
You know, it is fear to a certain extent. I mean, you know, people always say, oh, change. Yeah, change is fine. We should change things. But then when you actually start to change things, then people get a little nervous. For example, one of the things that we advocate for is more rigorous and meaningful teacher evaluation systems. And every teacher across the country will tell you that right now the evaluation system doesn't give them a lot of good information, that they would like better professional development and more meaningful feedback. But when you try to change the evaluation system, people start getting nervous, and it's understandable why. So part of what is driving this is just, you know, a fear of the unknown and knowing that when you're going into a new system, you're not exactly sure how it's going to work. But at the end of the day, we have to be able to embrace changing the system, because we know that for the last 30 years in this country, we have not been serving all kids well. I mean, we are in a situation right now where across the country, 50% of African-American kids do not graduate from high school. That is just a shame. If you are a kid who is growing up in America today and you aren't able to get a high school diploma and go on to college and get those skills, your likelihood of getting a high-paying job that can support a family are not high. So we're not doing our kids any favors by not being willing to embrace and change.
Meanwhile, Roland, headlines in Detroit say that they're closing 28 more schools.
And part of that also is when you look at the fact how people have run those schools and frankly, financially, how they've run them into the ground. So adults have also got to take the responsibility.
Yeah.
Michelle Reed, we certainly appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.